Hello, Unpackers. This is a bonus episode of Unpacking Your Ish dedicated to suicide prevention. September was Suicide Prevention Month, so we have both been impacted by this topic, so we wanted to make sure that we're sharing. And we want to say, again, if you need help, there are people who are here to listen. The Suicide Crisis Prevention Line is 988. Again, that is 988. Very simple. You can call and there will be someone there 24/7. And again, we know that this can be a heavy topic for people, so we will approach it with care and respect.
So hello, Unpackers. Today we are telling our own personal stories of how suicide or suicidal ideations or any type of self-harm has affected our lives. So for me, my son actually attempted suicide on 3 different occasions and was hospitalized between the ages of 12 to 14. We were going through some different things at the time. So there were a whole lot of things that could have affected him. One being we were just, my ex-husband, his father and I were figuring out custody at that age. We were also, he was dealing with some bullying at school, my son was. And then I also had a new person in my life that I was with that could have, you know, that did bring changes to the situation as well. So for us, there was no real one answer, to be very honest. There was no reason like, oh, he did this because of this. He did this. There was no one answer. So I'm saying that because sometimes there's not just one answer. But I will share with you some of the signs that we saw, all of us saw before we got to that point. So at first, I noticed that my son, he was in fifth grade, at the time he was 10, and I noticed that he became more and more withdrawn. Just this happy little guy that never met a stranger. You know, when we would go to playgrounds and public places, he would always find somebody to play with. He was just that kid. We always said, you know, we think he's going to be the one that's just going to stand out. And so he went from that to being very just shut down, not wanting to talk, not wanting to be around other people. Notice that, you know, he wouldn't necessarily want to go outside. Just like I said, very shut down. Some of the other things that started to happen, I noticed that he was eating more. He was starting to kind of take his food and go in his room instead of, you know, sitting and eating with me or staying out and hanging out with me and my daughter. I had to more schedule time spent with him. He would want to be in his room all the time and not want to interact with anyone else with the exception of a few people. I noticed that there were some times where I had actually seen that he was drawing on himself or I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the eraser test where the children take an eraser and erase their skin as hard as they can and it leaves a mark. He was doing things like that. Started to notice that once he turned about 11. And then just that he was, the biggest thing was that he was very withdrawn and wanted to be by himself. Like I said, personality change was a huge difference from the child that we always knew him to be. So I know that looking out for those signs and paying attention to the differences and changes in your loved ones and people around you is huge because, again, those signs started when he was about 10. By the time we got to 12, we had our first attempt. So over the course of 2 years, things had declined for him so bad. So he felt hopeless and thought there was no chance. Now, the thing about it was, even though that's where he started to decline, I took him to our general physician in order to talk to her about what was going on with him when he was about 12, actually. The interesting thing about that was she put him on medication and he was so depressed at the time that we were told that the medication might have given him just enough strength to attempt. And that's just so unfortunate that he was that low that when he started to feel a little better, he thought, hey, why not? You know, so just really keeping an eye on your loved ones. Watch out for your loved ones, you know, and making sure that you are even watching out for yourself. Because as his mother, that was one of the hardest times in my life, attempting to navigate that with him, not really truly knowing exactly what to do to help him. Yes, my background is in psychology. Of course, I had the knowledge, but it's different when it's yours. And so there was only so much that I could see. I was asking those questions that I would tell people don't ask, you know, like, what is it? What's wrong? Like, why are you doing this? What caused this? I was asking those questions that sometimes they just don't have the answers to, because sometimes it really is just chemically something happening. Or my son has never really come out with an exact answer for why that period of his life was like that. And as a mom, I have to accept that there may not be a why. I can't walk around and blame myself and say, you know, that was my fault, that I caused that. I just have to take accountability for the fact that that's my son. He went through a hard time and we did all we could to try to help him. And in that, one of the most important things, again, is just paying attention to the signs. With, you know, my son, it's been a journey, but I'm happy to report now at 16, he's in a much better place. He still, you know, has to continue with therapy, still dealing with trying to figure out those medications, because know that just because one medication didn't work, there are so many to try. And for some people, medication may not be the move, but you just have to figure out what's best for you in your family to combat, you know, that feeling of hopelessness and just depression. You have to figure out what's best for you. But I know for us, we went through about 4 different medications before we figured out what actually works for him. So, and having the knowledge, inform yourself of what's going on. You know, make sure you know and ask questions. The doctors aren't looking at you like this is all your fault. Nobody's blaming you. They want to help. That is their job. And so the more questions you ask, the more they can help. If you don't know something, ask. If you are worried about, you know, I don't know how this medication is going to ask. Don't ever feel like you're not a part of this either, and that you have to just sit back and allow somebody else to take over, because some people sometimes get into that blaming mode. Don't blame yourself so much that you ignore your opportunity to find out more, you know? So I think for my son, like I said, we're in a better place now. And he is definitely coming out of it. For the first time last year, he started to talk about things in the future, saying he wanted to drive, saying, you know, so we're definitely, and just saying something that he wanted to do later was a huge move, because he had stopped talking about his future. So I know we're in a better place, and I thank God for it. But as far as myself, dealing with a divorce and having 2 young children was a lot for me. So I had some ideations of, you know, if I just do this, you know, my ex-husband will have to be the one to take care of the children, and I could just, you know, be done with it. Like, just having those thoughts was extremely scary. But I had a good support system around me that knew me well enough to know that something was wrong. They paid attention to me enough to know, yeah, you're not handling this. Like, you know, you're not doing well with this. And they pushed me to get myself help, get the children help, because they, you know, the kids live through those things with you. If you're the one that's feeling hopeless, remember, there's nothing wrong with reaching out and asking someone else to help you with your children or help you with whatever responsibilities you have. Trying to work and raise children during that time was very hard, but we made it, you know, and with the support of great people and great doctors, we were able to come out of that. So I'm just, for me, every situation that, you know, I've dealt with that had to do with suicide or suicidal ideations, my go-to was always to get help. I knew that it wasn't something I could manage and navigate all by myself. So I knew I had to reach out. And that looked like my mom might have helped me get them to some appointments, or my best friend might have came over and watched them while I went to my appointments. But whatever it was, I knew I couldn't do it alone. And you're not alone. you know, sometimes you feel alone. Sometimes it feels like it's all your fault. Sometimes it feels like everything is on you. But don't allow those lies to take over your mind. There is help, even if it comes in the form of just dialing that 988 saying, hey, today is a day and I don't know if I'm going to make it out on the other side. Reach out for help. Don't ever feel like you're so bad to the point where you can't get help. I just would say in closing, pay attention to your people. Watch out for your signs and always ask for help if you need it.
Okay, so this is Maurice, and here's my story with suicide. For me, I would say that the first time I thought about, you know, ending my life, I was probably like 7 single digits, and I had experienced a lot of bullying around. I was called faggot a lot. And I didn't really know what that meant. For me, I thought it was because people told me I always sounded like a girl. So I distinctly remember every night going in my bed and praying that my voice would be deeper so that I wouldn't necessarily stand out in that way. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, I was thinking my voice would be high because I haven't gone through puberty. So I was praying, you know, when I was get to puberty, my voice would be deeper and I would just feel accepted because I just went through so much bullying for all of basically, you know, grade school, elementary to high school. And what's really interesting is when I was graduating, because I'm a nice person, I'm kind, I'm thoughtful. I've always been very much the kind of person to be nice. A part of my faith is, you know, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so even though I was being mistreated, I felt, you know, give people grace and, you know, those types of things. And so when I was graduating, some of the people that had bullied me when I was younger, they're saying, oh, you know, I really like you and I'm sorry. And I was like, dude, you know, it's just, it's so interesting. Just that kind of psychology. But one of the things I will say is I definitely felt alone and felt like no one cared. And people, what's really funny, people didn't see that for me because I was a happy person. You know, I was nice and kind. And I think the other part is I am grateful for my upbringing and my faith, but in a lot of ways I felt it disconnected. I did it alone. Like I didn't tell my mom because I felt, you know, I was praying about it. You know, I was praying to God about it. And I was, you know, trying to take care and be strong. A lot of that suffering I was going through alone as a child, and, you know, no one really knew or was aware about it. And so I think the first time I've been successful, but I did try when I was in college, and I don't know what it was. I think it was just feeling as though I was not accepted. I would never fit in, you know, because people always liked me, and I know I have friends and people that cared about me, but I just never felt like I was truly loved or truly thought about. And I mentally, I know it was different. I know that there are people that care about me and that would miss me and things of that nature, but just that connection in my brain mentally of, oh, well, feeling it was different, or feeling as though, you know, the things I wanted, you know, the people I wanted to be around or to accept me, that I would get acceptance for them. And I don't know, I was just very, very lonely, and I had some sleeping pills, and I took a whole lot. It just made me drowsy. but I do remember that being the idea of, okay, I just kind of want to end it, but I was still a little afraid. Because the other thing is, although I wanted to end my life, I have always been dealing with the fear of death too. So had these two different things, like, oh, I don't want to die, but I don't really want to live, because life just seems hard and like I don't belong here. I don't fit in. And so there have been times, and what's really, really funny is, as an adult, I've been in much darker situations, and the ideations happen, but the desire to actually follow through, that's, I've passed that. But I definitely still deal with, oh, you know, I don't fit in. I don't belong. I'm grateful that I've come to a place where I do know that I'm loved, and I do know that people love me. And I'm still working through that there are things that are in my control and there are things that are outside of my control. And so the only person that I have control over is Maurice. So I make certain that I live in a way that is honoring who I am. And even if I don't get the reaction, the support that I would like from some people, I'm grateful that I do know that there are others that do love me. And maybe it isn't the depth of, you know, because I see, you know, they're just saying that comparison is the robber of joy, you know? And so just learning to look more inward at what I do have and be grateful for it, instead of saying, oh, well, I don't have this, or I don't have that, or this person hasn't accepted me. And just really learning to accept myself. So I'm very grateful that I was unsuccessful, and that it's something I really didn't want to do at the end of the day. But I definitely understand people that consider and think about, especially people that feel like they're different, because there's so many messages that we receive that we don't belong here, or that we're not, you know, that we're less than. And that's one of the things that I've learned. And I think it's really, really important. If you feel like you don't belong, or, you know, no one cares, you know, people do, you know, give yourself time, reach out for assistance, because the reality is that the society that we live in isn't made for you. And unfortunately, even children, I remember, a few months ago, I was working at a school, and I had these children, like 5-year-olds, kindergartners, saying, oh, are you a girl? You sound like a girl. And I'm like, where does that come from? You know, I'm just trying to exist and live. And at these children think that I'm odd or I'm different. And it's because it's learned behavior. And so I would just encourage, whatever you're going through, but especially if you feel as though the society does not care, just know it's not you. You know, you have value. You are valued here. You have a purpose here. And so just look at yourself and give yourself grace, and that you're valued. You know, developing that is a journey. It's one that's taken me, I would say, until I was really 38. Is a time where I've been able to say, hey, I'm pretty cool. I'm good as who I am right now. And that emotional journey has been helpful and has made my life so much better. And it's one that we need to provide for more children, And if you're a parent or you have siblings or, you know, definitely encourage. If you know children, my heart as a former teacher is definitely for them, but we should be giving them these messages that they matter. Their differences are beautiful and they should be applauded. They're not weird. They're not, you know, going to hell or, you know, or evil. They're just human beings on this planet. So give them that acceptance. And if you're at a place where you're not receiving those messages, tell them to yourself. If the people in your life are telling you that you're less than or you're not worthy, they're lying. So I tell you that. So again, just give yourself that time and that love because you deserve it. Hello, everyone. So both Tay and I have shared our stories. And so now we're going to just talk a little bit more about, you know, thoughts from what we heard and just our final words to you all.
Sure. I know for me, just hearing the impact of hearing that in single digit age, 7 years old, was when it first started for you is, you know, just so scary that you felt like you had to navigate that alone. Even at that age, you know, like you said, it's all about how we condition our children, how we condition ourselves to think that we have to handle things. Growing up in the church myself, I know how it was always pushed to us, just pray, ask God. Nowhere in there did you feel safe enough to say, Mom, Dad, something feels wrong. I don't feel like I'm like everybody else, or, you know, people say this to me. What does this mean? Even to ask what they were saying. I mean, it's such a lonely place to be in. And that's the way it's able to take over is when we're isolated. But unfortunately, we've kind of put those isolations in ourselves.
Yeah, I think, and I agree. And we were talking about your story when you're about your son and recognizing the signs later. Know about just the withdrawal, it is so important in general to create spaces where the people in your life can be vulnerable. Now, this again, and what we wanted to say is ultimately, you are not responsible for another human being.
Right, right.
What you can be aware of are the signs.
Yes.
And what roles you might be able to play to best facilitate them being open. Doesn't mean that they will be there. You could do all the things in the world and someone make a choice for themselves.
Absolutely.
Someone choose, you know, their mental health and they're just unable to, and they decide to take their life. That is not yourself. That please, you know, no, there's don't be guilt. Exactly. Yeah. You know, what we are saying is, hey, these are some steps that you could possibly do based on our experiences.
Yeah.
And I would say that creating spaces or talking in a way where people feel vulnerable just to say, I need you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this is what's going on, because there is, I think sometimes with the way that churches or, you know, not only churches, but just the way we think about emotions is it should just be positive.
Right.
We should always be positive, like this toxic positivity. Right. And no, like I get to be sad.
Sure.
I get to be angry. I get to be hurt. I get to be scared. And telling your children, telling people your life, okay, it's okay to bring that to me. I think that's one of the things that I am really trying to be, is a place where the people that I care about know you can come as you are. I don't need you to be perfect. I don't need a picture of, oh, everything's going right. And what is the real? If you're breaking down, and that's one of the things I'm grateful for this friendship, because I know I can break down with you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I can break down. There's no judgment.
No.
You know, as you all have heard, I called her 2 o'clock in the morning crying on the way. And you need people in your life that are able to be there in the darkest moments.
Yeah.
And we often try to shut people off and say that they're negative and things like that. And I get it. You know, life is too short. And I'm going to steal from someone else. I believe it is on IG. You can find her. Sit with it. I don't know her name right now. It escapes me. But she said that, yes, life is too short to be around people who bring us down all the time. However, life is also too long to be to not have people who will stand in the rain with us.
Yeah.
We need to be able to stand in the rain with the people that we love and we care about and let them know that they are, that we're there for them. You know, it's not always going to be there. I'm not always in a negative mood, but sometimes I am, and I need to be able to feel like I can bring that.
Yeah, you should feel safe to do so with someone.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not everybody, but someone you should definitely feel safe enough to bring those moments to.
And I think it's just, it's also on us as individuals to build those skills to be able to do that. We can't fix things for people.
No.
But what we can say is, hey, I'm here. I want to be a safe person for you to share. And we also talk about just being able, that mental health work or communicative work of, okay, my friends aren't available right now. That's okay. You know, we've got to be able to look inward and then affirm ourselves right now or go to resources. That's why 988 is such a great resource. Yeah. I think, you know, the fact that they're making it a 3-digit number is 24/7. Take advantage of that. Do therapy. It's more accessible now. I think BetterHelp has, you know, options. But, you know, because sometimes going to your friends, you can end up feeling more alone because you're not equipped to do it.
Right. Exactly. If you don't, you know, have friends that have the type of training, and then if they are your friend and they're a therapist, they're probably going to refer you to someone because working
they're
that close.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's almost unethical. So when you know, you would want to have people that are trained and know what to do, know how to help you see some light, you know, because it's a very dark, lonely place.
Yeah.
when you're in that mode. And so to come out of it, you need someone to shine just a little bit of light, you know, and it does. Training is real. That's why, you know, I always say, praying, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus died for my sins and all of that. And at the same time, I can say, I believe 1,000% in therapy. I do not think the two have to cancel each other out. I think they can absolutely, you can have a Christian therapist if you want to.
Exactly.
I think that it is necessary to talk these things out and get them off of you. Like, it can almost be spiritual to get it out of your soul, get out of your spirit so that you can move on and let it go, you know, and or try to figure out how to fight the thoughts when they come and how to change the thoughts. You know, these things are seen in therapy as one thing, like, for example, like changing your thoughts or, you know, being able to catch a thought before it becomes bigger. It's in therapy, just like it's in the Bible when it talks about, you know, being able to control your thoughts too. So these things are, they can work together. It's perfectly okay to be religious and to go to therapy.
Yeah.
It's okay to be a man and go to therapy.
Thank you.
It's okay to be Black and go to therapy.
Thank
like
you.
There is nothing wrong with any of that,
yes.
You know? And as parents, there's nothing wrong with taking your children to therapy. It's not
or
saying
going
you're
as
a bad
family.
Parent.
Right. Exactly.
Or a family. We went as a family a few times. There's nothing wrong. You're not a bad parent. You're not a bad person. Your parents didn't do a crappy job raising you. We all have stuff. That's why this podcast is so important to me, because we all have stuff. And I think sharing our story, and Maurice was just saying, I'm being so open. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, sharing our story could be the difference in someone sitting at home thinking, wow, that was me.
Yeah.
I thought that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And knowing they're not alone. Cause like we said, this depression is, it's just such a deep, dark, lonely place.
Well, and I think what's really, you know, and you bring this up, no one to talk about it too, is just that we look for the signs of self-harm.
Yes.
Because those can be really good clues mm-hmm. into, wait a minute, this person's they're struggling mentally and emotionally.
Right.
And then that can lead, because there's so many different ways that people self-harm.
Yes, absolutely.
And that can lead to bigger things.
Yes,
it can. Later. So I think, you know, you definitely talk about your son and the eraser, which I had never heard mm-hmm. of. I thought yeah. of, but I think of sometimes with people, we definitely, alcohol, like yeah. those things, alcohol or talking about suicide, but you know, other forms of self-harm are being hyper promiscuous.
Absolutely.
You know, drugs, we definitely know, but or overeating, mm-hmm. those behavior changes that just seem out of the norm, where someone is really just trying to numb
yeah
what's going on,
yeah,
that can all be precursors to serious mental health episodes that can lead to trying to hurt yourself.
Absolutely. You know, when my daughter was in middle school, cutting was a big thing for the girls especially. And the children will walk around with like these bracelets on mm-hmm. and covering
the cuts.
But the sad thing about it was some of them were really struggling, mm-hmm. but because it was trendy and it was like the thing to do, it kind of got hushed mm-hmm. because everybody was doing it. So teachers, sometimes counselors would just look at it like, oh, that's what these kids are doing now. Mm-hmm. But I challenge you to look at every situation individually, because sometimes you can see someone's just trying to fit in.
Yeah.
I'm not negating that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and I think we may have had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. We talk about, well, someone's doing something for attention. Well, and?
Yes. Even like, if it's for attention, pay attention.
Like, because, I mean, they are cutting themselves.
Thank you. Think about the extent.
Try to take pills. Like, yeah. They're communicating.
Even something. If it, I always yeah. felt that way, because I felt like some situations that I've seen in other people's lives, the attempts, I have been guilty of saying, oh, he was just doing that for attention. Mm-hmm. But even think about the extent you have to take. What's going on in your mind? If the way to get attention is to take a bottle of pills, then call the ambulance yourself. If that's the way you had to get attention, something is yeah. still not okay.
Yeah.
So right. it's still something that you should be looking into yeah. and wonder, you know, maybe asking the person, you ever thought about getting some help? These are still signs. There's still things that you should absolutely look at. Because at the same time that a lot of those kids were cutting, like you said, drugs, there was a high population in our school system of children doing black tar heroin mm-hmm. at the same time.
Yeah.
So you gotta imagine something's not right, something's not okay, you know. And I feel like the school should have done a lot more than just sent notes home telling parents watch out for cutting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but. Hey, yeah. you know, they're limited in their resources too. So I'm not going to knock the public school system, but I mean, I just feel like everything's worth looking at when yeah. it comes to these topics.
Well, I agree. And I think, you know, I brought up the self-harm piece because from my perspective, it's really, if you see who you are as kind of, you know, like a dam,
yeah.
you know, like, or a healthy ecosystem, and then you have something that just erodes it and erodes it and erodes it and erodes it. You may not see on the outside, things can look good, but it's just one thing away, you know, one push away. And then you could have someone say, oh, well, they seem so happy. And I didn't know. Right. The reality is that every person in your life is going through something.
Absolutely.
Every person. Whether your happy friend, they're going through something.
Yeah, yeah.
Your strong friend, they're going through something.
That's right.
We're all going through things. And so just being mindful and checking in, I think that's one of the things, because I was a happy person.
Yeah.
I am very communicative and, you know, I let people, my friends know, you've gotten texts from me like, hey, I'm thinking about you, or I'll send a song like you're special, or,
yeah.
you know, to let the people in my life know that I love them, that yeah. I care about them, that I'm here for them. And just because, I'll give an example. I had a really good friend. We we were coworkers, and, you know, basically felt like she was my little sister. And with 2020, things, you know, kind of fell off. But I reached out to her. We kind of reconnected again. But she shared, and she said, you know, Maurice, I felt in my brain that, oh, well, he wouldn't want to hear from me and things like that. And I said, that's a lie. You know, like that's a, but those are the, that's what happens. We tell these stories.
We do tell ourselves.
You know, and that's why it's good, you know, for, you know, because I could have been the person, oh, she ain't calling me and da 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 da. But I didn't take it serious because it wasn't about me.
Right.
I know whatever is going on in her brain or her, it's about her. And it was prompted to me, her birthday was coming up, and that's like, I thought about her. So I sent the message. I just reached out. Follow those prompts.
Absolutely.
You know, follow, we all need grace. And I'm not saying get stay with talk to people or anything like that, but you know the difference.
Right.
You know people in your life that you cared about. Maybe you've lost touch, but they, excuse me, they come in your brain. Follow those, follow that intuition.
Yeah.
You know, because you never know,
I agree.
Especially if you've not talked for months. A lot happens in a month.
A lot. A lot can happen in a week.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Following up, and I always say this, check on your people. And the person that you talk to when you're sad, ask them how they're doing sometimes, because the strongest people may not tell you, but they might be struggling with something. And because they're always your person that you talk to, they're not going to want to put their stuff on you. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with checking on your strong friends, checking on your, like Maurice said, your happy friends, your friends that always seem like, oh, they've always got it together. No, they don't. Because there's a point. At some point, they might not. And they might need you, you know, and not to put pressure on people, but just check on your people.
Yeah.
You know, make sure everybody's good, you know, because when you just kind of don't say anything, and you feel, like he said, you feel something, like something might be wrong, but you don't want to say anything because you don't want to cross the line, or you don't want to get in their business if they're a private person. But just asking the simple question, are you okay? Is everything good?
Yeah.
Anything you want to talk about? After you tell your story, anything you got going on, you know, it's important. And it may just matter to them enough for them to share, you know?
Okay. So again, we're going to wrap this up and... but thank you for having this conversation, but we'll be right back.
Well, thank you for listening to our stories. And, you know, if you have a story that you want to share, you know, or you don't think someone cares or wants to hear, you can share it with us. We want to hear. We want to know. You know, everyone's special. If no one's told you today, you're special. So please feel free to email us unpacking.your.ish@gmail.com. We'll be happy to listen to your stories, you know, and we will definitely respond. I just want you all to remember that in the midst of all of the darkness and sadness and whatever somebody may be feeling, if they're thinking about suicide, know that you could be that one little shining ray of light that gets through just by asking how they're doing, or just by recognizing and noticing that something is different about them and bringing it to their attention. Just know that someone cares.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Is remember, you may feel as though no one on this earth cares about you at that moment, but this is simply a moment.
That's right.
The moment you're in will pass.
Yes.
You know, and it could feel like it's a lifetime and it'll never end, but it will, you know. And there are people that there care, you know, there are people that go to school for these things. And
yes.
Just give yourself the opportunity and time to find those people. And for those of us who are in a stronger place, be those people, be someone that is a safe space for someone, be someone that is a listener, that is, hey, I will listen. I won't 100% understand.
Right.
I may not 100% agree,
right?
You know, but I will listen. Let's work on each of us doing our part to just be a community for
Absolutely.
Each other, you know?
Absolutely.
So again, 988, please take advantage of that. There are lots of resources, you know, BetterHelp or your therapist. Reach out to people.
Yes.
Talk about these things. Be vulnerable. Mental health is simply health.
That's right.
You know, there are a lot of stigmas, especially in our community as Black people or queer people, marginalized people, that we don't want to be seen as even more different.
Right.
But these are things that we need. That's, you know, right. So take care of it. Do the due diligence. And from, you know, both me and Tay, again, we're here for you. Reach out in our Gmail. You can, our social media pages, you know, send us a message, voice note, whatever. We would be happy to be there and support you how best we can. Okay.
Absolutely. And like Maurice was saying, please know that you're not alone. There are, sadly enough, there are millions of people that are depressed, and there are maybe a little, the same number or more, that take medication to work with their mental health and make sure they're okay. So you're not alone. You're not the first person, and you won't be the last person. So just know, if you need help, there is absolutely nothing wrong with asking for it. Your general physician can give you resources to get you the help that you need if you're more comfortable there. Just ask for help. That's the biggest thing to all of this. Or if you know someone that may need help, tell them to ask for help. You know, if you recognize it, if you don't think you're the person they should talk to, let them know, hey, I'm noticing this. You may need to ask for help. You may need to call this number, or you may need to talk to your doctor. But just please be strong. Just be aware that help is there.
Yeah. Again, this is just about being human.
That's right.
Negative emotions are a part of life. So, and yeah, needing help and assistance to navigate, nothing wrong with that. So again, thank you for listening to this episode. And again, resources, 988 or anyone that cares, or reach out to us. Goodbye.